America Weekend. All right, we are back. Carl Sabatino. This is Smith Sabatino. Roland, once again, is off on assignment, and he will be back next week. Can't wait to have him back at the desk, Kevin. Just can't wait to have him back at the desk so we can give Roland a hard time.
But you did a fine job today, Carl. Well done.
Thank you. Okay. Educated at Cornell University as we move along in Cornell Law School, he is a ranking commissioner. Our next guest, by the way, his name is Michael Kaufman. He's a ranking commissioner in Suffolk County, New York, with 1.5 million people, larger than 11 states in terms of population. He is one of the chief environmental officials reviewing all public projects, programs, and laws for environmental impact, such as the Suffolk County West Nile Response Plan, and a planning commissioner with regional jurisdiction. He also designs and oversees ship channel marine dredging projects. Ladies and gentlemen, Michael Kaufman. Mr. Kaufman, welcome to the broadcast.
Thank you very much, Carl. And I do that ship channel dredging in my spare time.
Now, yes, and you seem to be, you don't seem to have much of it. However, I, in preparation for this broadcast, and I do know that you have extensive experience both as an attorney and as a practicing commissioner in a wide area of project. One of the things, though, that I'm most interested in is your work with regards to the protection of the landmass that is Suffolk County. And let me tell you what I mean. And we did not prepare this in advance, so I'm kind of giving you what I call a quick question.
Okay.
The landmass is that which protects the line drawn between Suffolk County and Nassau County. There are no other counties around you, for what you have around you is water.
Yeah, we're surrounded on three sides, the Atlantic Ocean, Peconic Bay, and Long Island Sound.
Yes, and beautiful all. However, protecting that landmass, give me your thoughts about the commissioner's direction, you as a commissioner, in protecting that landmass. You may cover any topic you want.
Okay, well, there's basically three areas that we try and work with to protect what's going on. Our wetlands are very much in danger, and they're very, very valuable resource. We're also dealing with a sole source aquifer, which we have to protect. And finally, we're dealing with, if you will, in a regional sense, with trying to economically stimulate the county, which basically provides a form of protection, provide housing, provide jobs, things like that, but in a rational way so that the natural resources are protected. And if we do it right, we're able to combine the economic resources and the natural resources and sort of bring them together and make a holistic, well, for lack of a better word, a holistic whole. That sort of rhymes, I think. Basically promote the county in a... I'm sort of searching for a word right now, but basically promote the county, make sure that it's stable. And once it's stable, we're going to be able to protect, again, our natural resources.
You know, this is a topic, and the reason why I bring it up, this is a topic that is not, if we were having this conversation with a commissioner in Baltimore or in San Francisco or in Tampa Bay, those that are affected by water with marshlands and so on, surrounded on certain sides by water, like the San Francisco Peninsula, et cetera, and so forth, you'd all be saying the same thing. This is a national problem. That includes Michigan and the upper Michigan and all of the rest. There is a consistency to your problems that would be shared by problems with other municipalities in the same position. Would you agree or disagree?
I would agree 100%. Look, to put it bluntly, all throughout America, and listen, throughout the world, the natural resources that are out there are under stress. We've grown as a country, and we've not necessarily developed properly as a country to really sort of protect what we have. Again, we've got urban sprawl all over the place. We've got suburban sprawl. We've destroyed a lot of our resources. I mean, you look at the statistics throughout the country, and wetlands are disappearing. Habitats are disappearing. Everything, the natural world is disappearing. And is that a good thing? No, obviously not. I'm firmly convinced that we can sort of coexist, basically the human population and, you know, the population of the United States, we can coexist with those natural resources if there's proper guidance, if people basically understand, you know, that these resources have to be protected, and that they're... The growth basically has to be guided, if you will. And that's, what I try and do as a planning commissioner.
My point today has been on a number of topics, is the universality of all of it. We have to begin to look at these particular situations as those that, though they pertain specifically to our local, regional area, in this case, it could also be a national area, but it's also a global problem.
Well, Carl, let me put it to you this way. I'm looking right now outside my window, and where I live and the areas that I protect, it's a perfect example of what you're talking about. I live on a saltwater estuary that connects up to a freshwater river. It's got a protective plan in place, but at the same time, the human pressure on it is immense. I live about, I'd say about 100 yards from the banks of the river. I can see part of it outside of my window. The development pressures of subdivision and providing for an expanding population and providing for stabilization, basically, of the tax base are immense. And people are constantly trying to breach the perimeters of the protective plans that we have in place. And they start scratching around at the corners. They start getting a variance here. They start getting a variance there. And the resource is under tremendous pressure. Now, I live on what they call a wild, scenic, and recreational river. It's one of the few here on Long Island where I live in Suffolk County. There's only four of them in Suffolk, and there's a few more upstate. We're essentially wild. I've got otters on this river. I've got massive bird populations all over the place. It's a spawning ground for fish. It's a nursery, basically, for a lot of other animals, et cetera. But the human pressure keeps coming closer and closer and closer. I've lost, since I moved here, say, about 30 years ago, the quail have disappeared. The pheasants are pretty much gone. I see one or two every once in a while. The raccoon population, on the other hand, has exploded. The deer population has exploded. But those animals can coexist with man. The animals... And basically, the animals are able to, some of them are able to coexist, but a lot of them are not. And again, that's because of the development pressures. Development pressures are such that it's, again, stabilize the tax base. That's always the mantra I hear.
Yeah, but you know, it gets to a point where that becomes, and I've said this before in many a hearing, that as you try to fix, we're plugging our fingers in the holes in the dike.
Yeah.
And that is not solving the problem. And we've got to come to a point. There was a proposal that legislature, and I'm going, and correct me, I know he's listening, and correct me if I'm wrong, I believe it's in Texas, where he has proposed to the state legislature that instead of because Texas has an enormous land mass, it's bigger than most countries on the planet.
And actually, a relative of mine has a county named after him in Texas.
There you go. Okay, Kaufman County. But the point is that let's all go to Kaufman County. But the point is that he's saying instead of building out, instead of going out into yet another sprawl, building out another new community, why don't we turn ourselves back into the metro area and begin to develop those with tax incentives to do that?
I like the idea. We didn't discuss this, but it is hilarious that you're bringing this up, because yesterday I had a meeting of my planning commission and we were dealing with this exact issue.
Well, any good idea, and this comes from the guy's name is John Kerner, Mr. Kerner, and I think it's a brilliant idea. He comes from Waco, Texas, okay? And any good idea has a certain zeitgeist, if you will, Michael,
yep.
And that zeitgeist, maybe it has spread out across the country. Maybe it has. We got 2 minutes, Michael. Michael, are you going to be able to stay with us for another segment?
Absolutely.
Because we got 2 minutes left. Please go.
Okay, here's what it boils down to. We're seeing a massive change from the post-war world. After World War II ended, you know, that was the one that was in all the papers, basically people fled the center cities. and they came out to the suburbs, and that's how the suburbs became established in America. We're now seeing a change in that. The millennials are now heading back into the cities, and everybody over 35 is staying out in the suburbs. But the millennials are heading back, and so you're seeing massive redevelopment in San Francisco, San Jose, all the center cities, Philadelphia, et cetera. The millennials don't want to be out in the country. They don't want to be in the suburbs for whatever reason. So we are seeing massive population shifts, and our response out here in the suburbs is to try and establish small urban nodes where the millennials might want to establish jobs and might want to live because they don't have to deal with transit problems. They're right near their jobs. It's like literally a little mini city, and that's what we were dealing with yesterday, redevelopment of a particular area to go from one story to four stories.
Well, Michael, I want you to hold that thought, Michael. We're moving out, but if I can get my wife to move back into the city, okay, in a heartbeat, I'd give up my car. I didn't have a car in New York for 14 years, never missed it.
Okay? And that's one of the issues we were discussing.
Never missed it. I would give it up in a heartbeat and say, I'm coming home.
I'm coming home.
Anyway, Michael, please stay with us. Michael
Will
Kaufman,
do.
Commissioner, Suffolk County, New York State. Stay with us. We're gonna be taking a break here, and we shall be back. Call Sabatino. Roland, once again, is away. He'll be back next week. And I'm getting the hand signals from Kevin again. My engineer producer, he's unbelievable. Signals flying in all directions. It's like landing a plane on an aircraft carrier. Smith Sabatino, America Weekend, the Envision Radio Network. Stay with us. We're back.
America Weekend.
Think green.
Harrison with you. Scientists from the California Institute of Technology say they've developed a new kind of solar cell that actually uses 96% of the light that solar cells typically react to. This is called incident light. What's somewhat different about this emerging technology is that solar cells are made of plastic, these ones anyway, which means they could significantly reduce the overall cost of standard photovoltaic cells as well. This would help with the expensive upfront costs associated with solar cells, which has stopped many people from both investing and installing this incredibly cheap and highly efficient technology. These new solar cells use tiny silicon wires embedded into plastic plates in which light is then converted into electricity at a 96% success rate, they say. As more is revealed about these cheap solar cells, we'll keep you up to speed with cost and availability.
Think Green with Harrison at thinkgreenradio.com. Where are they now with Ahmad Rashad?
This Maryland native played for the Rockets, Lakers, and Spurs, collecting seven titles. He earned the nickname Big Shot Rob because of his clutch shooting in the playoffs.
Today it's slammed in by the uncovered Robert Horry. This time of the year, he begins to flower.
So where is Robert Horry now? Robert's daughter, Ashlyn, suffered from a rare genetic disorder and died in 2011 at the age of 17. In her honor, Rob and his family established the Ashlyn Horry Foundation, helping to improve the quality of life for children with disabilities. Robert also owns three rehabilitation centers in and around Houston.
Parker into Iverson. Outside for Horry. Over Candy.
Are you kidding me?
Oh, what a shot! Robert Horry has done it again!
Robert Horry, still making him count. I'm Ahmad Rashad.
Tired of high cable bills? Call 888-759-MYTV. With packages as low as $19.99 for four rooms, you can't go wrong. Call now, 888-759-MYTV.